There's a lot of talk in the last 5 years or so around trust and psychological safety. I think organizations spend a lot of time looking at how you build trust and how you can build psychological safety. But the reality is that I think when you can, as a leader, express to people where you are, including when things are not brilliant, including when you might have made a mistake, including owning things like, you are better at this than I am, and therefore I need you to help me with this. You know, all of those sort of vulnerabilities, I think when you can share that with people, you create trust. It engenders all that sort of loyalty, the discretionary effort. All of that then comes with what you are giving of yourself. Really, it comes down to you as an individual leader stepping up to the plate and giving.
You're listening to Doing Law Differently. Join me, Lucy Dickens, as I explore how the world's most progressive legal service providers are doing law differently.
Hello, welcome back. You're listening to the Doing Law Differently podcast, brought to you by Law CPD and Legally Yours. I'm your host, Lucy Dickens, and today I'm joined by Neeti Nadaraja, who is the head of Legal Australia at Philip Morris, a multinational company headquartered in Switzerland with operations all around the world. So Neeti is a senior in-house lawyer working in Melbourne, but more than being a lawyer, she is also a woman, a mother, and a human being. Neeti has become an advocate for authenticity and vulnerability, mental health issues, and the challenges of juggling parenting and work on LinkedIn especially, but also more broadly. And it's this second part of her bio that I focus on with Neeti in this interview. Because yes, doing law differently is about things like pricing and business models and customer centricity and all of the things that we often talk about on this podcast. But it is just as much about leadership, especially authentic leadership, about stepping out from behind the title, as Neeti puts it, and showing our authentic and human selves. And as we hear from Neeti in this interview, when we do that, the benefits flow, not just to us and who we are in terms of our personal growth, but also to our leadership skills, to our teams, and to our businesses as well. So a slightly different focus in today's interview, but one that is just as important for all of us who are doing law differently. If you enjoy the episode, I'd love it if you could hit subscribe. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It really helps other people to find out about the show. For now, though, here is Neeti Nadaraja on the Doing Law Differently podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Legally Yours, an online marketplace that connects clients to fixed fee and value-based pricing lawyers across Australia. For lawyers, Legally Yours also helps innovative legal professionals to connect and grow by providing business support services, education, leads and connections to other lawyers who operate beyond the billable hour. With membership starting from as little as $50 plus GST per month, join Legally Yours and find your tribe today. Visit legallyyours.com.au.
Hello, Neeti. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Lucy. Lovely to be here.
We connected on LinkedIn some time ago now. In fact, I don't think it was actually that long ago, but it was few months at least, and I've loved following your posts ever since then and watching your videos, and I really relate a lot to a lot of the kinds of topics that you talk about, particularly in relation to motherhood and parenting and all of the challenges that that brings in our professional lives. And really, it's kind of the leadership focus that I want to talk to you about on this podcast today. But you are also a senior in-house lawyer working in Melbourne. So you are in the legal profession, but I guess the kind of the aspect of doing law differently that I'm really keen to explore with you is this, what I'm kind of calling leadership, because that's how I see it. It's this online leadership in terms of things like, well, lots of things. In fact, why don't you tell us what those things are?
Yeah, it hasn't been that long since we connected, I don't think. I haven't really been actively engaged on LinkedIn for terribly long. It really started last year with everything that was happening with the pandemic and returning to work after my second child and a period of maternity leave. And I very much, I do write a lot about parenting and the challenges of parenting and motherhood. And It's something for me, it's, you know, since I had my first child about 7 years ago, it's something that I've become quite passionate about. I don't think I realized pre having children, and I think a lot of people say this and I hear this quite often, but I don't think I realized just how difficult it is to actually manage the juggle of parenting and working. And so since becoming a mother, I think things like providing flexibility within your team, ensuring people know that you trust them to do what they need to do, I think that's all become really important to me. And as I've stepped into a leadership position in my company, I think that really has cemented itself as something that's very, very important. And I think the other thing too that I talk about a lot is lessons that I learned from my children and from parenting. And it was actually, I think, a wonderful byproduct of last year that I actually got to see my kids on a daily basis. And that sounds really strange to say that, because of course we see our kids on a daily basis. I mean, you know, your parents, you deal with them day in, day out, right? But it was just different, like, you know, because this commute wasn't there, rushing around in the morning, you know, getting everyone ready and getting them out the door and then getting them back home at the end of the day and then rushing them through dinner and through bath and to bed. I don't know, it just felt like I could actually observe them a little bit more. And that sounds weird when you're working and everything was so busy and there was less time, but there was more time, if that makes sense.
It definitely makes sense. My daughter started school this year, full-time school. She didn't do kindy, so she went straight into 5 days a week. And it took me probably the whole of the first term to come to terms with the fact that our lives now look like the bit before school and the bit after school and the weekend. And the bit before and after school are not the fun times. They're the come on, we've got to get you ready, and then the let's feed you because you're grumpy now, and then get ready for bed. And it was a lot for me to kind of, well, okay, all this time that we had together has now disappeared. And it's a transition. So I can see that from the other perspective. If you're more used to having children in school, all of a sudden having more time together would be like, exactly, oh, this is what it used to be like. So yes, I can relate. And also to your first comment about becoming a parent and then realizing all these things about how that aspect of our lives integrates with our work lives and our professional identity. I'm very similar to you. When I became a mum, all of those things became really important to me, and I wanted to share my views and start talking about them. My friend Jo Lilovich and I have produced 100 episodes of the Juggle podcast talking about exactly these kinds of conversations about how do we juggle a satisfying career and a fulfilling family life. And that's probably why I relate so much to the kind of content that you post, because it's really important to me too.
Yeah, it is. It is so important. And it's interesting that last year, I think we got this window into people's lives and we could actually see the juggle rather than just hearing about the juggle. And I think it made a massive difference, right? Like suddenly people, you know, and for me, it was really important. I made sure I had my video on all the time. I had a baby at home as well, who was 7 months old when I returned to work in COVID from home. And, you know, I had my video on. I was like, you know, I don't care if I'm changing a nappy, if I'm making food for him, if I'm picking crumbs off the floor, if I'm potentially even being vomited on, you know, I think that happened once. It doesn't matter. You need to see this because this is a part of my life and this is what we do, right? And I think that was really important last year. And I think people hopefully have got more of an understanding of what this juggle now looks like for people. But it's hard if you're not in it to actually relate to it. And I really think for me, one of the big things about being a senior woman in the industry and in my company is to enable more junior women and men equally. You know, obviously there is, you know, single parents that are fathers. There are men who do a lot to help raise their kids. So obviously men as well, to really just say, look, it's okay. I understand exactly what you're doing in managing the juggle that you have going on, and the fact that it is tricky to, you know, navigate all the running around that we need to do as parents. The mother's guilt, I mean, that's a huge one, right? I had this so much, especially I think pre last year, where, you'd be working and then you'd get stuck at work and then you're running to go and pick up your kids. Yeah. And I remember my daughter once saying to me, as I picked her up from childcare, "Mummy, why are you the last one here?" And I'm like, oh, heartbreak. Then she's like, "Can you not be the last one again?" And I was like, oh my God, you know, the guilt and the pressure. Oh dear. And this is the hard thing, right, with the juggle and what you're talking about with your podcast, I'm sure, is you're neither here nor there because you're trying to be the best you can be at work and you're trying to be the best you can be at home. And sometimes the two clash. And I think then it's this piece of empathy and understanding and listening to people that becomes so critical. Like, we really need to start listening more and just understand the issues that people are dealing with and try and meet them where they are.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. I talk about that a lot in terms of, well, I guess I see that in two ways. One is in terms of understanding our clients and what they need and meeting them where they are. And the other, which is perhaps more relevant to what you're talking about, is our staff and our team and working out how we can support them to do the job in a way that meets all the other needs and everything else that's going on in their lives. I've been talking about this kind of theme a bit lately. I spoke to James Dapici on the podcast recently, and we were talking about the need to let the mask slip for lawyers in particular, yeah, to let the mask slip and show who they really are kind of underneath the surface. And you've spoken about stepping out from behind their job titles and embracing who they really are as people. What has happened for you since you've started to do this, perhaps more publicly, because I'm not saying you didn't do this before. It's just that since I've known you, you've been doing this in a public way on social media.
Yeah, it's been a real journey for me. I think I, sort of going back before social media, I was never a sharer in my personal life even. So, you know, pretty closed book, wouldn't share how I was feeling, had this whole like armor up around needing to present as strong and together. And even though my feet might, you know, like a little duck under the water with its feet like going crazy, even though that might be going on inside me, really presenting in a very different manner. And so whilst I, you know, I think remained very true to my values and everything else, there was an element of a persona that I had built over the years. And it really took until I had stuff going on in my personal life, namely some miscarriages, that it started to shift a little bit. And I finally spoke to someone. Someone actually asked me how I was and if I was okay. And it kind of threw me at the time. And I paused, but then I started speaking. And when I started speaking, I couldn't stop speaking. And, you know, it was like this floodgates of everything. And it really brought home to me the importance of being real and talking about things. And I think that then translated for me into using LinkedIn last year, particularly with everything that was going on, as a way to share what I was going through. And it was really strange because I'd been at home for maternity leave, right, for 7 months. I'd had a really weird transition to maternity leave where I'd had literally zero maternity leave because I had to go to the hospital straight after my farewell lunch. So the whole thing had been this mad rush and then maternity leave. And I was looking forward to going back to work and then I didn't. And so I hadn't seen my team and had a proper handover with the person who'd been looking after my team in the meantime because he'd had to rush back home before borders closed because he was from overseas. So it was all quite overwhelming at the time. And then I just started using social media as a way to sort of share some of this. And since I've started doing that, and I've become, and I've said this on social media recently, but I've become more and more confident in my own voice and more comfortable in my own voice and more comfortable standing in my experiences, if that makes sense. You know, it doesn't feel so scary anymore to me to be talking about these things now and to own my mistakes, to own things that have happened to me. All of those sort of things, they're now quite comfortable. So from a personal perspective, it's actually helped me grow massively as a person, right? It's just, it's enabled me to really reflect on my life, reflect on things that have happened and clear some of these blockages. Additionally to that, I think it has helped people see me as a person much more than they perhaps did before. And I think as lawyers, we are trained to have this persona that we develop over time. You know, you need to be perfect. You need to make sure that there's no red line when you submit something to a more senior lawyer, for example, when you're in private practice, you know. So there's all of this sort of perfectionism, this fear of failure. We're high achievers typically. So it's all part of the way I think we're brought up and then groomed through law school and through private practice, if that's where you start. And so often don't let others see who we are. Mm-hmm. And I think there's so much value to doing that because people get to know what you value. They get to know what you believe in. I now have conversations with people, both from work and not from work, where people will share with me really personal stories and ask for advice on things that are not connected to my role as a lawyer in the company, yeah. But they're more about might be parenting. Or last year I had people reach out to me and ask me about returning to work as a new mum, mm-hmm. in a pandemic virtual environment and how you deal with that juggle and, you know.
And all of that makes you a better leader, right? You've said it's made you a better person. It's given you more insight into, yes. yourself, but it also makes you a better leader and helps you to meet the needs of your team because they feel open. They feel like they can open up to you. They're comfortable with you. They know that you get it because you're human too and you have challenges in your life. And all of that means a better relationship between each other, with each other.
Yeah.
Which, you know, just translates into more and more benefits for the team and the business and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying that's why you do it, but I'm saying there's lots of advantages.
100%. Yeah. Exactly. I completely agree with you.
Is it time for you to do law differently? So many of the lawyers I speak to know that they need to change the way their business operates, but they don't know what to do and in what order. If you want to regain control of your business and get back your life, my Productize and Profit program is just what you need. It's a comprehensive 12-week program designed to guide you step by step to reshape your firm and regain your life. There are over 50 online e-learning modules, insights and tips from industry experts and law firm leaders on topics like pricing, productizing, marketing and technology, interactive webinars, and of course, one-on-one coaching from me. The next program is starting soon and numbers are strictly limited. Find out more and register your interest at lucydickens.com.au/program.
There's a lot of talk in, I'd say probably in the last 5 years or so, around trust and psychological safety. And I think organizations spend a lot of time looking at how you build trust and how you can build psychological safety. But the reality is that I think once you can be human with people and real with people, and when you can, as a leader, express to people where you are, including when things are not brilliant, including mm-hmm. when you might have made a mistake, including owning things like you are better at this than I am and therefore I need you to help me with this. You know, yeah. all of those sort of vulnerabilities, I think when you can share that with people, you create trust, yeah. right?
Absolutely.
It engenders all that sort of, you know, like the loyalty, the discretionary effort, all of that then comes with what you are giving of yourself. It's an interesting one because I think organizations do spend a lot of time focusing on this, but really it comes down to you as an individual leader stepping up to the plate and giving, mm-hmm. really.
There's one topic in particular in terms of this concept you've spoken about, being real, owning things, being honest, being upfront, sharing whatever you feel comfortable sharing with about your mm-hmm. personal life, that's been coming up for me lately. And this is around early pregnancy and morning sickness. And the reason why is because I'm pregnant. I'm just coming to the end mm-hmm. of my first trimester with my third pregnancy. And I struggle a lot with all day sickness. I hate that it's called morning sickness. Nausea, headaches, I get really sick. And I'm comfortable in my workplace to tell my colleagues that I'm pregnant. So there's no kind of secrets around it. I feel comfortable to tell them in the early weeks. So they've all known, right? Which helps because then when I'm miserable or I'm feeling sorry for myself or I'm just eating constantly all day, they get it and they know why, and they can make a little bit of a joke about it, and it's, you know, there's a supportive environment. But I've seen a couple of things over the last few weeks. One was an anonymous post on a Lawyer Mum's Facebook group by someone who was pregnant in her first trimester, was really struggling with pregnancy, didn't feel comfortable to tell her colleagues or her boss, and didn't want to take sick leave because it was frowned upon. And my heart just felt so much for this anonymous lady. I commented, I just said, please take the sick leave. That's what sick leave is for. Never mind the stigma. I said, if you're working at a place where you feel that you can't take sick leave, you know, you're growing this human, which is hard. It's really hard work to grow a human. Why do you want, you know, if they can't give you the support that is take a bit of sick leave that you are legally entitled to when you really need it, why do you want to give them the pushing yourself through that really difficult time and challenge? It just doesn't make sense. But I know why we do it, right? I get it. People don't want to talk about pregnancy. They don't want to talk about early pregnancy. They're worried about the effects it's going to have on their career. They're worried about what taking sick leave is going to look like. And I think the reason why I'm saying all this to you is because, one, I know you get it. But two, I think your whole point is the more we talk about this, the more we can normalize it, and the less those challenges, you know, we can help to get rid of those challenges. We can make it become normal.
Exactly right. Firstly, congratulations.
Thanks.
Very exciting. Well, not the all-day sickness part, but the pregnancy part. I totally resonate with you. And, you know, I've been there, I've hidden pregnancies, I've hidden miscarriages, you know. Some of it is societal.
Yes,
a lot
absolutely.
Of it is societal. I think some of it is personal. It's your own preconceived ideas as well. And we don't talk about it. It's really strange. Part of the issue with early pregnancy is we know that there's a real risk of miscarriage. Yeah. And it's almost like you put yourself in this protective bubble. And you're like, if I don't talk about it in too many circles, including even sometimes to your close family, then if I lose the baby, then I don't need to go through the grief of having to talk to people about the loss, right? And so I think then we try and protect ourselves, but in trying to protect ourselves, we then deal with everything that is going on in that period and everything that might transpire if we do lose the baby in silence. And that can be so incredibly hard and so incredibly damaging as well, from a mental health perspective, from a physical health perspective. I even know, even post my miscarriages, when I had my rainbow baby, so my son, the first however many weeks, in fact I would say probably the whole pregnancy, I was a nervous wreck. Like, I was so anxious because of this fear of losing this baby. And it took me a long time to talk about the fact that I was pregnant. And even then, when I did, and when people would say congratulations, I'd be like, oh, okay, thank you. But it wasn't like I didn't really feel it inside, right? Mm-hmm. And so whilst I was presenting one thing at work in terms of, you know, everything's A-okay and everything's normal and there's nothing going on here, nothing to see, inside I was a mess. And I do truly believe that some of these conversations around pregnancy, around miscarriage, around the sensitivity of the questions that you ask people about whether they're going to have kids, when are they going to have kids, are they going to have a second child, all these things we need to get better at talking about, because there is so much grief here and so much of an impact on women's mental health, I'll say, but also the partner. I think the partner also suffers through this with the woman. But as you said before, we need to normalize these conversations and we need to get better at talking about them. We talk about when people pass away in our lives. We openly say to work, someone has passed away, I need to take some time off. We should be able to say the same thing if we have a miscarriage without worrying about ramifications. And equally with what you were talking about with all-day sickness, I'm going to call it now.
Yes, please.
You know, you should be able to approach your employer and say, hey, this is what's going on for me. I'm pregnant. I'm really sick at the moment. I need you to understand that. I need you to empathize with that, to give me some time off, to perhaps give me some space. And, you know, I think it's really a mark of a good leader and a good employer when people do feel comfortable sharing those sort of things with you.
I agree with you. I agree. And you've written an amazing, really touching article about your miscarriages. I'll link it in the show notes here for anyone who wants to go and see it. I actually read it again this morning before we recorded this and I got teary. Mm-hmm. So warning, I guess, for anyone who's going to go and have a read of that, but you know what the topic is. I think the thing is, not everybody feels comfortable sharing this stuff publicly, and that's fine. Once upon a time, I wouldn't have either. But maybe for those of us who do, the onus is on us to go and share this, talk about this, to continue the conversation. So for those who don't feel comfortable, who don't have that support in their workplace or whatever it is, at least they feel a bit less alone.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's exactly right. And I think it is important for those of us who do feel comfortable to talk about this, to talk about it. And I'll be honest, when I wrote that article, I had it, you know, and I think I've said this on social media as well, but I had that article written in my head for 2 years. So from the time pretty much I had, I don't know about my first miscarriage, but definitely my second, I really had started to think about the fact that this is something that people need to talk about.
Yeah.
Because it did so drastically affect my mental health. Yeah. And I couldn't necessarily see it at the time, but after it, I was like, I was a zombie for months after each of these events. And I was not myself. And I was going through the motions and pretending to be okay when really I was not okay. Like, I'd be in the bathroom crying silently so no one would hear me. And so it really did impact me so greatly. And that all impacts your work, right? Like, yeah, it all impacts how you show up in every part of your life. Mm-hmm. So when I wrote that article or had it in my head, I had decided I wanted to share it. And I came close many times. And as someone at work, I even shared it with them at one point because I was presenting or introducing someone for a mental health discussion. And I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to use this as my introduction. I'm going to do it. And I sent it to her and I said, please, can you just read over this intro and just tell me what you think? And then I went to bed that night, woke up the next morning and went, nope, not doing it, not ready, can't do it. And I wrote to her and I said, just ignore it, delete it, don't read it, I'm not doing it. So even when I wrote this article, it took me ages to actually press post on it because it was, and it is, so personal, and it was scary putting it out there. And you do wonder about what people will think and say, and is it too much? Are you sharing too much? Because, you know, people do talk about, you know, how much you share and are you crossing a line and so on and so forth, right? But I decided in that moment that I had to do it and I had to press post because I had to release it from within me as well, right, for my own therapeutic reasons. And since I've done that and since I received, I guess, so many stories back from people and so much love back from people, people saying this has really helped me and thank you so much for writing this. And even, oh my God, I didn't realize just how traumatic this all is. And again, thank you for giving me that realization. It's just empowered me to go, you know what, I need to talk about this more. And the more I talk about it, the more comfortable I get. And actually now talking about this, I mean, I talk about it more often than probably ever thought I would, but it is important because people need to know that they aren't alone, as you said, that there are other people out there that go through the same thing. It always astounded me that when I had my first miscarriage and I would talk to friends, they'd be like, oh yeah, I had one too. And it was really hard. And all these people would suddenly start talking about their own personal experiences. You never realize, I think, when you're pregnant or even before you're pregnant, just how common it is. Like, you kind of hear it, but you don't hear it, if you know what I mean. And so, I think the discussion is really important. And I think for those who are comfortable, and I say for those who are comfortable because I don't think you should do anything that you're not completely comfortable with. You know, you be vulnerable in a space that's comfortable to you. But for those who are comfortable sharing more openly, I think absolutely we should, because the conversation needs to happen.
It does. And I've had my own post about this sickness, keeping pregnancy quiet, those kinds of things running around in my head for, I don't know, probably the last 3 months. But truth is, I've just been too sick to actually put it together. But when I do, I'll do it and you can hold me accountable because it's the same thing. I think it's important.
It is.
And I guess kind of to wrap us up, what this all comes down to it, well, what you've spoken about this on your LinkedIn is about personal brand and about how you didn't realize that building a personal brand was important until you did, I guess. And then that has really changed your perspective. And you've spoken as well about, even for people who are working in-house, about the need to build a personal brand. So why do you say personal brand is important? What are some of the benefits?
I think there are huge benefits. Particularly for in-house lawyers, I think we sometimes think that it's not as relevant because we work with our client, right? And so we get to know them on a different level than you do when you're in private practice. But I've definitely seen benefits since I have built this personal brand. And it goes, you know, beyond social media to stuff that I was doing at work even before that. But I think from an internal perspective, it builds trust. We've talked about that before, but that authenticity piece and really having people see who you are, it breaks down some barriers, right? People get to know you. They understand what you believe in. You know, all these things become really relevant to leadership and your position in a company as a potential leader or as a leader of people, right? So I think that is so important. From an external perspective, the opportunities, since I've started doing what I'm doing on LinkedIn, these opportunities just keep coming to me, you know, like
everyone wants to hear more
opportunities.
From you.
Yes. Yeah, right. This opportunity, you know, I mean, all these things. And they're incredible, right? Because it gives you a voice and it's important to have a voice. It's important to stand for something. And whether your voice is about the area that you practice in and that's the thing that you want to talk about out there, that's fine. For me, it's all about me, the person. For other people, it might be something a little bit different. But in any case, I think the more you put out there of who you are together with what you are, the more you build networks, you build connections, you build trust. There's so much. I think it's incredible. And I've done it by accident, largely, particularly with the social media piece, because I never intended to build anything. And, you know, I would hear the word personal brand or words personal brand previously and go, personal branding, no, run away.
Don't need that.
No, don't need that. That's all a bit fake and put on and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And it took me a while to realize, actually, no, personal branding is just about who you are. Yeah. It's just about owning you and letting people see that, right?
Yeah, and taking control of that, because if you don't take control of that and present yourself in the way that you would like to, you know, the authentic way that you would like to be seen, other people do that for you. They decide what we think you stand for and who we think you are as a person. So it's taking control of it as well. So what advice would you give to someone who wants to do law differently?
Ooh, good question. We've talked about this a lot, but I would say, you know, step out from behind that title, really. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's really important that you show who you are. Yes, we're lawyers. Yes, we're capable. Yes, we provide great advice and all the rest of it. But show more of yourself, because I think when you show more of yourself, you prove yourself to be a leader. You prove yourself to be a human. People ultimately want to work with human beings.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter whether you're in a client, whether it's a relationship with a client, whether it's a relationship with a team member or with a superior, it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, human connection is what drives this world. So I really think you need to step out from behind who we are as lawyers and really own your person.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we shouldn't underestimate how powerful it is for people like you to set that example as a senior legal professional for others who are more junior in their career, who are kind of coming through, who can see you ahead of them, setting that example. I think that really is so, so powerful that you're saying it's okay to be who you are. It's okay to be human. Exactly what you've just said. I think it's so, so powerful. So thank you.
Thank you. It's been wonderful to chat to you.
Are you a lawyer who needs CPD? I've teamed up with Law CPD to make that task easier for you. Law CPD provide premium CPD for Australian lawyers, and they offer so much more than just another webinar. Law CPD's courses are online, on-demand, interactive learning. Law CPD are offering Doing Law Differently listeners $25 off of their first purchase using the code DLD25. There are over 100 courses across all competency areas, so visit lawcpd.com.au to find your next CPD course and make sure you use the code DLD25 for your $25 off. That's all for today's episode of the Doing Law Differently podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to do law differently and you're looking for some guidance and inspiration to help you along the way, then get your hands on my book. It's Time to Do Law Differently, How to Reshape Your Firm and Regain Your Life. You can get it on my website, lucydickens.com.au/book, or on Amazon or Booktopia, where you'll also find the ebook versions too. Don't forget to leave a rating and review if you enjoy the podcast, and be sure to tell your friends and let other people know too. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.